This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we turn to a new PBS Frontline documentary that investigates the lucrative and often shadowy multi-billion dollar adoption industry in the United States. In Baby Brokers, Frontline and Retro Report examine how pregnant women and hopeful adoptive parents are recruited across state lines, sometimes by unlicensed third-party brokers. Drawing on dozens of interviews with birth mothers, adoptive parents, adoptees, agency owners, government officials, and law enforcement, along with thousands of pages of adoption records, the documentary investigates the rise of what's been called adoption trafficking and the consequences of a largely unregulated system. The documentary focuses on Utah, which has become the epicenter of this industry. Here is the trailer for Baby Brokers.
A lot of times these women are coming from unstable housing situations, you know, financial instability, pretty deep poverty.
In collaboration with Retro Report, correspondent Gabrielle Glazer investigates a hidden side of the adoption industry.
I don't know a single adoptive parent who wants to buy a baby. I would never want my children to feel like they were bought and sold.
The law says you can't buy a baby. That's the law. Okay, but can you help this birth mom?
The efforts for reform.
We have more work that we need to do in this area to try to end the exploitation that we know is occurring among these birth mothers.
This is not a problem that states individually can solve alone.
And the impact on families.
Everything was just too fast. She was reading, she pointed, I signed.
I remember walking in and there was all these pregnant women like sleeping on the floor, just being like, what have we done?
Now on Frontline, Baby Brokers.
You can watch Baby Brokers online now. Gabrielle Glazer is the correspondent for Baby Brokers. She's an award-winning journalist who's been reporting and writing about adoptions in the U.S. for years. Gabrielle Glazer is the author of American Baby, A Mother, Child, and the Secret History of Adoption. Hi, Gabrielle. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to you and your team for this very important documentary.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate being able to be here.
Well, it was so interesting to learn that this industry has grown into a multi-billion dollar industry, and demand has gotten so high that prospective parents outnumber infants by more than 40 to 1. What explains that?
Well, a long history of commercial adoptions that date back more than 100 years. We don't think of, you know, making families as being something that fits neatly into supply and demand. But in this case, it does. If we want to go back to history, a really ruthless social worker understood that there was a demand for babies in California and New York, and there was an excessive supply of them among poor women in Memphis, Tennessee. And 100 years ago, she routinely just went through Memphis stealing babies and selling them to politicians and celebrities in New York and California. It sounds like something out of a creepy novel, but those are the roots of our adoption industry today. And that secrecy and capitalistic shaping of an industry is what defines us today.
You also report that countries that used to adopt out thousands of infants a year have tightened their rules.
That's correct. When social mores in the United States, number one, the right to abortion in 1973 with Roe, and a little bit before that, the legalization, the acceptance of the birth control pill, Griswold versus Connecticut in the late 1960s, women were allowed to have more agency over their reproductive lives, and single motherhood was far more accepted. Americans started going overseas to adopt. But eventually, corruption scandals with, you know, the coercion of birth mothers in with money, the trafficking of birth mothers from region to region in a variety of countries, from Guatemala to Korea to Ethiopia, when those corruption scandals hit the news, those countries halted their programs to outsiders. And shockingly, that same corruption and exploitation then took root in the United States. The demand had not gone away. Certainly, there are people who want to be able to build their families through adoption, or maybe they have been unable to conceive. Maybe they've spent years trying to conceive through IVF. Maybe they are called by religion or by faith or by some sort of larger purpose to adopt a child who might not be able to, whose parents might not be able to raise it. And a lot of people began to exploit that desire, that very human desire to build a family.
You know, when we were watching this very important documentary, Baby Brokers, we were thinking a lot about the overturning of Roe and how that has affected this industry. I mean, we meet at least one young woman in your film who traveled to Utah from a state where abortion is illegal. And just to remind everyone, during the oral arguments in Dobbs, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett repeatedly pointed out that adoption, and in particular safe haven laws, allow women to leave their infants anonymously. Why don't the safe haven laws take care of that problem? She said. So can you tell us, how has the overturning of Roe and the fact that we have 41 states with abortion bans in effect, how has that affected this industry?
That's a really great question. It would have been easy to say, all right, well, there's a neat there's neat data to support that the adoption industry has grown as a result of Roe. But we do know that the number of abortions have remained steady and even increased because of the abortion pill, right? So that has shifted what people, I believe, in the industry were expecting. However, because of the ubiquity and the ability to receive that medication online or in the mail, that the number of adoptions did not increase exponentially. I know people were hoping within the industry that that would happen. That hasn't borne out. However, you rightly point out that a young woman who we meet in this piece, she came from a state where abortion is illegal, and she had hoped to be able to. She's from a Gulf state. We don't identify her because there was a domestic abuse situation going on. She could have, at the time, in 2023, still gone to Florida, which had, I think still at the time, I believe a 16-week ban. Her state had immediately banned abortion, made one of the strictest laws in the nation in 2022, but she didn't have the money to travel by bus out of state to Florida, which would have made her spend the night for a 24-hour law. She didn't have money to put her two children, to take her two children on a bus, and she wound up in Utah, entrapped by one of these online baby brokers, two of these online baby brokers, actually.
To provide a little context here, you report that many states have strict laws that govern adoptions, but over the past few years, you've been investigating a loosely regulated corner of the industry where pregnant women are often lured far from their home states by so-called baby brokers, offering quick money. In many cases, we learn these young women were given cash. And then they offer quick adoptions to hopeful parents. So can you tell us about these laws, and then why is it that so many of these brokers are located in Utah?
Yes. So we don't have an overarching federal law that governs adoptions. It is run on a state-by-state basis, and each state has enacted a series of regulations that either make adoption more difficult, less difficult, medium difficult. I'll give you an example. I live on the East Coast. I live in New Jersey. Connecticut and Delaware have two of the most really regulated adoption laws in the country. In Delaware, for example, it is unlawful to pay birth mother expenses for anything beyond her medical care and her legal care. And the legal fees required to go through with an adoption. In Connecticut, which has a very, very, very high cost of living, it is unlawful to give a birth mother anything beyond $1,500 in birth mother expenses. You can't get a studio apartment on the outskirts of New Haven for $1,500 a month. Mm-hmm. So what the Connecticut legislature had done was take a look at this and say, no, we don't want any of the coercion that might have been going on overseas. We don't want that happening in our state. But what that didn't account for, what some of these laws that are very, very strict didn't account for, was what is going on the internet. And so if you are a pregnant woman in dire straits, you might need rent money, you might be on the verge of homelessness, you might be, as the case of the Gulf State mother, you might be in the midst of a really bad relationship with somebody you're afraid of. You go online and you say, pregnant, need help. Maybe you're considering adoption, maybe you're not. It depends on the search terms. You go online and you put need help, pregnant, rent money, financial problems, bills, any number of terms will lead you to these sponsored ads that are targeted directly towards the desperation of pregnant women in a variety of states.
That was also so interesting to learn about. You interviewed Kelsey Vander Vliet Reynard, who works for a nonprofit that tracks these agencies. She has firsthand experience with all of this. And we see these websites that say, choose adoption, free safe housing for you and your family, money for bills, food, and more. And as you report, an overwhelming majority of these ads are coming from Utah adoption agencies, not from agencies in states where women might be seeking adoption information. And in some cases, the ads are not from the agencies themselves, but from unlicensed brokers working on their behalf. And then once they make a connection, they send the women to the brokers in Utah.
Exactly. They recruit these unlicensed brokers. There's one in particular in the state of Virginia, and she has a business license to run. I think the name of her, I'm not even going to name it because I don't want to get myself in trouble, but she runs a website that is directly aimed at finding pregnant women, recruiting them specifically to go to Utah. Again, she is in Virginia. These ads can appear almost anywhere in the country. Some states have rules that ban these unlicensed intermediaries, and they ban agencies that are not licensed in that particular state. They ban advertising for any kind of recruitment. So, but a lot of states don't. They have no rules whatsoever. And both Utah agencies and these unlicensed brokers, particularly the one in Virginia, are aiming at finding women who are down on their luck and can go to Utah, where it, until very recently, has been legal to give women a cash payment as soon as she signs the papers terminating her rights as a mother.
And Kelsey Vander Vliet Reynard told you that a lot of these times women are coming from unstable housing situations, financial instability, and very deep poverty. They really have nowhere else to go.
Correct. And additionally, many of these women also suffer from substance use disorders, and they are offered, we saw so much evidence of them being offered essentially an endless supply of Suboxone. And it is couched in terms of, if you come, we will be able to manage your pain with no questions asked. Mm. And so it's a variety of women who are especially those who are on the verge of being unhoused, number one. Number two, women who are struggling with substance use disorders, and then the domestic violence issue as well.
What was it like for you to interview some of these women? We're going to play a clip in just a minute.
I think I'm only now kind of unraveling some of the deep emotion that was involved. I'm a mother. I have three grown daughters, and it was hard not to envision the desperation and then the rupture of this loss of having to surrender your child because it's you've signed these papers under duress. What are you going to do?
We're speaking with Gabrielle Glazer, correspondent for Baby Brokers. It's a Frontline documentary that investigates the lucrative and often shadowy multi-billion dollar adoption industry in the United States. It's about an hour long. I really hope you can take the time to watch this. You can see it online now. We're going to play a clip. One young woman who was drawn into this process was Tia Goins. Her experience began in 2018 in Michigan after she gave birth. She was 20 years old and facing homelessness as winter approached. Here is a clip from Baby Brokers.
I just was having all these different emotions in my head. Like, I don't want to be in a shelter with her. So literally first thing popped in my head was adoption. So I just looked up adoption agencies. First thing I typed in Google search, adoption agencies. And the first link that popped up, I clicked the number and I called it. And a lady named Flossie Green answered. And she told me that they would give me $1,000 if I go through with the adoption. So I told her just to give me a couple days to let me think about it, let me figure out if that's what I wanted to do. She called back the next day.
Within 24 hours, she said the woman from the ad, Flossie Green, had arranged for her and her three-month-old baby to be flown to Salt Lake City, where the owner of an adoption agency was waiting.
Hi, my name's Sandy Quick. I am the owner, founder, and director of Brighter Adoptions. We are a licensed child placing agency located in Utah, and we serve women from all over the United States who are wanting to do an adoption.
Goins had been passed on to Sandy Quick, who brought her to a nearby restaurant where she met a couple who'd come from out of state to adopt her baby. But later that night, back at the hotel room, she said she began having second thoughts.
I just kept hearing something that just kept telling me to go back home, go back home, go back home, go back home. So I called Sandy. Sandy didn't answer the phone. So I texted her. I'm like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I think I want to go back home. And she's like, okay, I'm in labor with another mother right now. I'll give you a call back in a second.
She said the call never came. And the next morning, she said Quick's agency presented her with the adoption paperwork.
It happened too fast. Everything was just too fast. The lady said, I'm going to read these off and, you know, you sign where I point. Well, she was reading. She pointed. I signed.
Once she signed, there was no turning back. While some states give birth mothers 30 days to reconsider, even after they've placed, at the time, Utah did not. The whole transaction took 3 days.
It hurt it really bad. To go back to the same airport I came out of with a baby, without a baby.
Before she left Salt Lake, she said Quick handed her an envelope with $4,000 in cash. Back then, Utah had no limits on the amount of cash payments to birth mothers, as long as the agency said it was covering what's considered reasonable costs for pregnancy and immediate postpartum care.
She told me, try not to spend it all in one place or use it wisely. That's what she told me, use it wisely.
That is a clip from the new Frontline documentary, Baby Brokers, which you can watch now online. And we're joined today by Gabrielle Glazer, who's the correspondent for Baby Brokers. Gabrielle, Tia's story is just devastating. We learned that for years after the adoption, she pursued the parents for contact with her child, so much so that a court issued a restraining order. And in a statement, the adoptive mom said her daughter is a bright, healthy little girl. The adoption was voluntary. And she said the adoption industry needs federal oversight and uniform standards. It's just devastating to think that Tia is just wondering, where is my daughter? What does she look like? It's just such a devastating story.
And she is one of so many. Mm-hmm. What also happens in Utah in particular is that in many cases, these women are promised verbally that they will be allowed ongoing contact with their children. And what they are not told until they sign papers in many cases is the fine print of the adoption agreement says an open adoption is absolutely unenforceable, A, in Utah, and B, it doesn't tell you outside of Utah, but open adoptions are only enforceable in a handful of states, maybe a dozen and a half. I want to say 19, but I could be wrong. California is one of them. But if the adoptive parents go to a state where such agreements are null and void the minute you get there, you're out of luck. And how are you to know that? Especially in a case like Tia's, where everything was so fast. The entire transaction took less than 3 days.
Ah. When you hear her say she arrived at the airport with a baby and left without one, it's just devastating. As you say, she's one of so many. You report that in recent months, Utah has moved to tighten adoption laws in response to criticism from birth mothers and their advocates. Disillusioned adoptive parents have also expressed concerns. I mean, you have a story in Baby Brokers about a couple that paid $45,000. They sold land, they took out loans, and they lost all the money because Brighter Adoptions was shut down. So there are devastating stories all around here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other updates about the regulation of these baby brokers?
Well, I do, actually. There is some positive news. So in November 2025, a bipartisan federal bill was announced that is aimed at banning the intermediaries we've been discussing that recruit pregnant women, and the parallel consultants that are unlicensed in any state. They don't have to answer to any board. They don't have to, there's no one governing them either. And they have cropped up in order to help adoptive parents navigate this complex web of laws that we have in 50 different states. And they help steer them to states where adoption laws are the most lax. So there's a new bill called the Adopt Act that, when it was introduced in November, had just a handful of co-sponsors. By press time, or when we were in edit, there were 9 co-sponsors, and now there are 20. So I'm not saying, oh, this is going to be the panacea to this problem, because as long as there is a supply and demand, I'm sure there are going to be ways around this problem. But at least that will eliminate these predatory recruitment people who are out there seeking vulnerable people on both sides.
Gabrielle Glazer is the correspondent for the new documentary, Baby Brokers. You can watch it online now. It is a Frontline documentary. Gabrielle, thank you so much for your reporting, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.